Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. reallifesci-fi.show has all of our other projects. I think I gave up on the reaction channel, but maybe not. I don't know. Every comment we get is just like, stop doing bits. Watch the movie.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I don't know what a reaction channel is. I'm supposed to gasp? Is that what you want? You want me to gasp?
Just make face reactions, no talking?
Like, not everything is the Red Wedding. Not fucking... You tell me the part in First Wives Club where I'm supposed to gasp, and I'll fucking rewatch it and gasp. You fucking... I just want to say, Companion... The movie our friend directed and wrote and directed, Drew Hancock, comes out January 31st. If it's past January 31st, you can still go see it. Just like, juice that box office a little bit. You don't even have to see it, honestly. You can just pay for the ticket. It's probably what I'll do. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, creator of the audio series NP Armageddon. It's Peter Podgorski. What up, Pete? Can I call you Pete?
You can call me Pete. Yeah, sure. Can I call you Way? Yeah. We'll just shorten it. Yeah. I'll call you Wit and Way.
Wan Wee?
Yeah. Wawee. That's a good name. Yeah. Thanks for
What's
having
up,
me.
Man?
I look forward to discussing paranormal things with you.
Thanks for being here. But first of all, NP Armageddon, amazing name. Did you start with the name?
I did not start with the name.
Makes the name even better.
The name, there's an interesting story with it. If you imagine, like, if Public Radio and Mad Max kind of had a baby, so it's like a half hour of Public Radio in a post-apocalyptic landscape. I got the inspiration. I listened to this other podcast called Night Vale, which was a very popular podcast, and I liked it a lot. And I was like, I'd like to do something kind of like Night Vale, but it's like Public Radio meets Mad Max. And he goes, and like, it took him 2 seconds. Like, oh, you mean like an NP Armageddon?
Oh my
and
God.
And I was like, yeah. And so I didn't come up with the name. It was just 2 seconds of Brian just bing.
Listen, congratulate Brian on the name.
Yeah,
I got a character for you. Have you used this character yet? Okay. Glass Ira? How about that? You know, like Ira Glass only.
It would be like Ira Broken Glass or something with that. Like,
well, I was thinking that he had a glass eye. I overworked it in my head. I did.
I
should have just said Glass Ira Glass, maybe. Do you have an Ira Glass guy?
No, it's not such a direct parody, but it's
an American. Yeah. What's his show?
This American Life.
This American today. I can't even do it. I haven't heard This American Life in so long. He's still there, right? He's still a relevant guy.
You don't have an Ira Glass impression in your back pocket, just ready.
I feel like I should. Hey, everybody. Today we're talking about glass. Is that good? Does he talk
like
that?
I think he does do that pause. Yeah.
Did you know that it was sand? That's right. All glass was sand. And then they do like a whole thing about a glass maker guy, or they do a lightning story. You know how when lightning hits sand, it turns into those beautiful crystal structures.
You should pitch this to This American Life. I think they do have independent producers. You could put that together, kind of put your little like glass, Ira Glass, and do a whole glass themed episode hosted by Ira Glass
Like, I'm so stupid. I just go by what his name is. And I go, okay, what about this?
You'll love it. It's his name. He'll love it.
Are you just pitching the April Fool's episode? Because we already have something planned for that.
Yes. Goodbye. How into the world of kind of paranormal and conspiracy are you?
I think I used to be back in the day a big listener of Coast to Coast with George Norrie. And so, like, I enjoyed that show a lot. And I'll still, like, go back and listen to, like, some old episodes. I think they've all been all cataloged and stuff. So
sure, yeah.
I'm like,
a huge deal.
I think that's probably where a lot of people first got their interest was from that late night show of this kind of thing, especially the paranormal stuff, less so the conspiracy stuff, which I think kind of comes out of like probably JFK questions and things like that.
It's sort of two different worlds. It used to be. I mean, now conspiracy stuff is everything. I mean, I guess back in the day, it was like either aliens or JFK shit.
Yeah, or like Elvis was like the bridge, the gap between those two worlds.
Right.
Do you remember when Time Life had that Time Life series, Time Life books? And yeah. They had one that was just weird stuff, like ghosts.
Yes.
Thing. Like,
yes.
I love those. Those were so good. You know, that must have been the most... You know, like the Time Life series was this really classy thing where like, oh, here's a bunch of pictures from World War II or something if you're for history buffs. And then they went total schlock Weekly World News and just gave you like the goods on like all the hits of the 80s paranormal stuff. You had like the gray aliens, Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, like basically this show, only it was Time Life publishing a book about it.
I think the conspiracy theory that I fully believe and actually angers me is everything around the food pyramid.
Yes, from when I agree with you.
Because I was completely susceptible. I was a believer in the food pyramid, and I took it really seriously when I was a kid. And so what I love about the food pyramid is it said cereal was good for you. And cereal is like dog food for humans. And it's not good for you. And
I still tell my kid to eat just at least have some cereal. And then I go, wait, this is just fucking sugar mess.
Well, they would print the food pyramid on the cereal boxes to propagandize you that you were getting like all these essential like B vitamins and stuff. And then like that big bottom rung of the food pyramid was just General Mills propaganda, just directly into your eyeballs.
I remember on the commercials, every commercial ended with part of a complete breakfast. And then they would show like orange juice and like an apple. And it's like, that's a complete breakfast if you take out the cereal. Like, you don't even need the cereal. That's
even
your breakfast.
Orange
right
juice
there.
Is on the orange juice is on the bubble. Eat an orange, get some fiber, not just like the sugar part of the orange. And so that fits a conspiracy in all the classical senses. It's like, it's a group of like scientists that are corrupt that want to hurt you for whatever nefarious reasons. And then they successfully pulled it off.
And then they talk whoever into promoting that in schools and shit. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure we all got psyoped on the food pyramid.
God, that is a conspiracy theory.
Grains,
it's funny that you mentioned
grains.
That because Willie really hates the food pyramid and he won't let it go. So I'm glad he's been validated a little bit because I always just roll my eyes. What kind of idiot would have believed in the food pyramid? No, but you're right. It's a classic example of a good conspiracy. So you're from Idaho.
Yeah. Usually, like what I notice when people talk about Idaho, it's always usually like a synonym for like where nobody lives and nowhere people live. Over in Idaho, it's like Twitter is like has a bunch of ads for like Cheech and Chong's edibles. And so every time you click on it, you see like Cheech and Chong edibles and they go legal in 49 states, except for Idaho. Idaho sucks or whatever. And you're just like, well, okay. Idaho has not fallen to big Cheech and Chong edible gummies.
Yeah.
So they can stick a feather in their cap there.
Yeah, I guess they got something going on with their legislation where they're like, no, we're not doing the weed thing.
The television was invented in Idaho. There's some controversy around that by Philo T. Farnsworth was from Idaho.
See, that is such a made up name, Philo T. Farnsworth. Or is that just because is the professor on Simpsons Farnsworth?
Yeah, he's named after him. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That figures. Okay, well, let's jump into the WoW Scale.
WoW Scale.
The WoW Scale is a 5-question quiz. It stands for Waiter Willie. At the end of the quiz, I will give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wait. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Please.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, I believe in aliens. No, I don't believe they visited Earth. So no for the second one.
Cool. Ghosts.
I do not believe in ghosts.
Did you go like camping in Idaho? Was that a part of like being a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Being camping.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's probably a lot like Colorado. I mean, it's similar, right?
I've been to Colorado. It's very similar. Colorado is like Idaho with less Mormons.
Bigfoot.
I do not believe in Bigfoot, but I do think that there could have been ancient things that were like Bigfoot, potentially, like some branch of
like some lost gorilla
alternative branch of something. That seems,
yeah,
if someone discovered like a Bigfoot fossil, I'd be like, yeah, okay,
sure,
yeah.
Word.
Illuminati.
Like, when you mean the Illuminati, you mean like the classic Italian Illuminati? Because that was real.
Well, so we know that exists. We know that's real. And this is a biased way to ask. I guess I'm just asking if there's a group of people who run the world who are like above the governments of their various countries.
Does that mean there's only one, or would there be competing ones?
I think there could be competing ones.
Then yeah, I believe in it then. Yeah. I think like there could be competing groups of shadowy elites. Sure. I believe that's possible.
And everything's behind the scenes, and they go to dinner parties together and just be like, let's finally do World War III. I think it's time.
Well, so, I mean, that has been proven to exist in various times. So the question is, does this exist currently? But like, it absolutely has existed.
It has to, right? I mean,
I know, right?
If I had all the money in the world, I'm not going to like try and just convince the idiot president of something. I'm going to go talk to the real people in charge.
Well, I think there's a pretty good case that like the Tony Blair Institute has a lot of fingers and a lot of pies across the world, right? So like I could imagine someone like a Tony Blair being part of some sort of club where they discuss and hopefully to influence the future. But like how much influence they have probably varies. You know, they're also going to be in competition with other groups of people that have a different way they want things to go.
Plus, there must be infighting amongst themselves, right? Like they can't all be on the same page.
But there's always been secret societies of powerful people. Like,
I want it so bad.
So the question is, how powerful are they, and how much influence do they have over your personal life? If this group was in charge of something, I don't know, let's say the food pyramid, then yeah, I do think there was a group of people,
right?
That, you know, like, the food pyramid proves the Illuminati thesis at least halfway there. If you think
it proves the influence over government regulation.
Yeah, the food pyramid doesn't just coalesce out of the system. Like, I think there are people with thumbs on scales and wants and the will to power to force their will on an unsuspecting populace. And the food pyramid is a very benign, easy example of this occurring in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's demonstrable. I mean, we should do a documentary on the food pyramid, probably. Just like,
has anybody done that? Because that would actually be good.
It feels like if you Googled something, you would find some bad ones. But I'll bet we could really do like the preeminent food pyramid documentary.
Right. Because I would imagine also they're starting to erase some Wikipedia about the food pyramid because they don't want to make you think that shit's still corrupt.
Oh, do you know what? My brother got me the best Christmas present this year. He got me a set of 1929 children encyclopedias.
Ooh.
And so like I've gotten into this idea of like collecting encyclopedias that are pre-World War II just to see like this is what they wanted kids to know in 1929.
And it's so all just trigonometry. It's like way more advanced than what we do now.
It's written in a really robust, like you read it and you feel good. It's written in a way to make you feel like, yeah, let's take on the world, man. And like, it's not done like, cause I think nowadays, like there's this, like, I think Wikipedia even has this like neutrality thing. Like we're going to try to be very down the middle neutral as if that's a thing that anything can be.
Yeah.
And what's nice is like this Wikipedia entry has like opinions. And like, it really likes the car. And like, and you start looking through like some of the more racier stuff. So you're like, oh, let's see what like in 1929, this, let's see what they say about the Jews. And I was just sort of like going to say like, is this going to be like really spicy or whatever? And it was actually spicy the other direction. It was like so incredibly pro-Jewish. I was it was gushing. It was embarrassing.
So now your antenna goes up in a different way. Not to be anti-Semitic because of Palestine and everything.
Philo-Semitic, yeah.
Well, hang on. Were Jews behind the encyclopedias of the 1920s?
I mean, I'm sure they were overrepresented in the creation of encyclopedias. Like, I looked up Christopher Columbus because that was another one I thought would be interesting. And like the angle on Christopher Columbus was not what I was expecting exactly, because like the big story of Christopher Columbus was like, here's a guy, was a explorer and found the new world, and it was a very brave, cool thing. And that's the normal, like, kind of like 1980s children's version of Columbus. And then it really focused on how, like, he died penniless, and how there's a big tragedy where he did all of these great things for the crown. Spain. And the king, I think, passed, I think maybe the queen was his patron. So the queen passed away.
And
the king was like, I don't know you anymore. That was my wife's thing. whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so then, like, he just totally gets abandoned and just, like, he, like, used to be important and then died kind of just, like, as a nobody because the regime changed a little. And that was the focus of the entry, is, like, he, like, you know, climbed this great height in history and then just was just, like, tossed out to the whatever. We don't care. If you can get yourself a set of encyclopedias that are printed before World War II, they're going to be just really, really interesting. And anything that's after World War II is going to basically be really familiar. Like, there won't be anything that'll be all that. Because, like, we sort of still live in the post-World War II consensus.
Yeah.
And so if you want, like, kind of odder takes, you know, then you'd have to go to books that are, you know, before the 1940s.
Anything before Edward Bernays, right?
Well, Edward Bernays is pretty early. I don't know when Propaganda was written, but I think, like, you know, Edward Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. He's an interesting guy. His big claim to fame, you actually can find an Edward Bernays interview on Letterman from the 70s, which is just crazy. But, like, yeah, you can find it on YouTube. But Edward Bernays's biggest claim to fame, according to him, was that he was the guy that convinced women that they could be smokers too, that women could start smoking cigarettes. So it's like, you can do it, baby. It's not just for dudes. And so he opened up an entire market. So instead of just selling cigarettes to 50% of the population, sell it to 100% of the population, get the women on board too. And he was able to use, like, models and persuasion and all of these different kinds of tactics.
Dieting.
To get women to start smoking. Yeah.
Torches of freedom. That's the phrase to encourage women smoking. Torches of freedom.
Yeah,
that's what he came up with.
And this is, like, you know, this is like kind of like the flapper era, right? Like, this.
Yeah,
is,
the party. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Roaring Twenties, right? Yeah, up until you know, right then, he convinced them to smoke right in time to smoke for all the wrong reason, because it was 1929 when he was doing that. He lived to 103. This guy.
Wow. He was a brilliant man. I don't know if he was a good guy, but, like, he definitely,
I know, right?
Like, he's like a Machiavellian character. Like, Machiavelli sort of would tell you, this is how politics works. And everyone goes, oh, that's so terrible. Oh, how can you say these things? He goes, I'm just objectively describing how it works. You know, you can like it or not, you know. And Edward Bernays is like, this is how advertising works. It's like, oh, that's terrible. You know, and Edward Bernays was a big fanboy of Walter Lippmann, who wrote this great book called Public Opinion, which is, like, a classic of journalism. From that book, like, Noam Chomsky stole all of his great ideas from Walter Lippmann. So the idea of manufacturing consent is a Walter Lippmann idea that comes from Public Opinion. And the word stereotype comes from Walter Lippmann. Now, it didn't have, like, a negative connotation at the time. It was just describing this thing, going, like, yeah, you sort of have shortcuts in your brain to help you make decisions. And, you know, if you notice a pattern long enough, it becomes a stereotype. And then, like, that's how that works. And even Propaganda, which is Bernays' big book, like, Propaganda just meant sort of distributing information that you wanted. It didn't have this really, like, this negative connotation that it has today. And the book, if you read Propaganda by Edward Bernays, it's just, it's really like, here's this great thing. This is how you can, like, get people on board. And Walter Lippmann talks about how much it was used in World War I, like, to try to get World War I kicking off. But yeah, but all of Noam Chomsky's best ideas were just repackaged Walter Lippmann from Public Opinion.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of genius, right? Like, he invented a new way to advertise, which is, like, just focus on really the good shit. He probably was behind the food pyramid.
Oh, no, he was for sure. Bernays helped America decide that breakfast was bacon and eggs to help the chicken industry and the cow industry.
Yeah, so you should be mad at this guy, because really, without Bernays, there's no food pyramid. All right, we got to finish up the wow scale here. Last question, okay. The multiverse.
Yeah, I guess I don't believe in, like, there's a version of me that exists somewhere else that's kind of like me, or like that kind of thing. And then, like, everywhere all at once, like, I don't believe in everything all at once.
Yeah, I don't either. It's kind of willy.
My version is the universe is electrical energy, and our consciousness chooses and creates the different parallel realities. I don't know if I'm fully on board with this, but the idea is that you can vibrate into the best version of all the different realities that are put in front of you. So like based on what you're focused on.
But now you're kind of pitching like a different thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't think that's the multiverse as I understand it. Like,
well, I'm saying that that's what I believe that the because the multiverse is basically like science says that different parallel realities could exist at the same time.
Well, that, like you could say, like you could make it like even religious where you say, like, is heaven another universe and hell another universe? So if you believe in heaven and you believe in hell and you believe in the material universe, then that's a multiverse of a kind. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. All the different versions. I was just saying the one that I lean towards, which is our consciousness creates all the different realities.
Yeah, see, fractally. I don't know, like, to say that I don't believe in it would almost give it too much credence.
I think we could just give you a 2. All right, Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the simulation. Are we in one? Join us as we explore the eerie similarities between our lives and artificial intelligence, uncovering the unsettling truth that we may just be living in a digital dream. Tune in and open your mind to the mind-bending possibilities of the simulation tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
So we used to ask, do you believe that life is a simulation in the WoW scale? But it kind of fucked up our formula for whatever reason. So I'll ask it now. Peter, do you believe in the simulation, or is it just a theory that you're having fun exploring?
I think it's a theory that I'm having fun exploring. It seems to be like the atheist way to get a heaven and hell or something. I think they asked Dawkins about it and he goes, oh, well, you know, that one's kind of interesting. And you're just like, oh, OK. So like you just kind of don't like old books then. You're still kind of OK with like, you know, it's unfalsifiable in a similar way to like heaven or hell, you know. Mm. Just because something's unfalsifiable doesn't mean it's not true or not. It just means you just can't falsify it. I think simulation theory should be taken seriously and is good to have discussions about it. I am open-minded to simulation theory.
With technology and AI, the crazy things that we're finding now. There's this guy, James Gates. He's a theoretical physicist at the University of Maryland. The smaller and smaller you look, he's found basically computer error correcting codes. I'm quoting him now. So why were they in the equations I was studying about quarks and electrons and supersymmetry? This brought me to the stark realization that I could no longer say people like Max are crazy. I forget which Max he's referring to. But one of the things...
What is he saying, though, in that quote? He's saying that
he's finding proof of computer code, error correcting codes in electrons and stuff. He's basically like, this is the exact same thing.
Isn't that just RNA or whatever? Isn't that just the... I'm trying to understand what he means when he says that he's found self-correcting computer code. Like, because I didn't know that there was a self-correcting computer code either. I didn't know that you could write some code and then it would like do better. Is that just AI?
I don't know specifically the computer version of
it's a metaphor that I can't wrap my head around. Like, I don't understand how you would find code in real life, but it doesn't matter because it's not like you can explain it to me.
Here's a broad comparison. So, you know, when you're playing a video game, open world, whatever, can be totally huge game, but the computer only needs the processing power for what you're paying attention to, what you're looking at. I mean, the double slit experiment, they're trying to figure out if light works like a wave or like a particle. And so there's a tiny slit and they send photons through it and it hits the wall and it makes a slit on the wall, right? When you do a double slit, if it acts as a particle, you will have two slits on the wall of photons. If it acts as a wave, then these two waves will interfere with each other and you'll get an interference pattern on the wall of photons. And so what they're finding is that if you pay attention to the photons going through, they actually change how they act. If you pay attention to it, it acts like a particle. If you don't, it acts like a wave. And so they tried to basically, like, I don't know, trick the universe, trick the experiment. They let the photons go through the slit and then pay attention to it. And it changes because you paid attention to it. So it changes. It's exactly like the computer rendering what you're paying attention to. I mean, this is not the computer correcting codes. This is the universe changes because we pay attention to it. And that, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, that we've talked about water in the past, Dr. Emoto. We're like, I don't know. It's just this weird thing of like, we can prove that photons change based on us paying attention to it. And I'm going like,
the last thing that sort of like leads me to believe is that it's a simulation, because there's people paying attention to shit all over the earth at all times. So they're saving processing power on like just this one little tiny thing. They're like, well, they'll never pay attention to this. So like, we can just make these photons do the easiest thing for the computer. And I'm being very literal.
Well, it could be like,
well, I was just going to say, wouldn't the more kind of like the easier example would be that like, by looking at it, you're giving it some sort of energy that's changing it, rather than like, oh, I'm being looked at, now I need to change. I mean, that's all I'm saying. What were you going to say, Pete?
I think that's right. Like, what you're saying is like, it's not that it's changed because you're looking at it. I don't think that's what the theory says. It's the fact that you're looking at it makes it have to exist in a certain way that it wouldn't have to exist otherwise. So it didn't change from one thing to another. It exists in a new way. So like, if you're playing Doom, it doesn't render all the walls of Doom. It just renders the ones that you're looking at. And if you're not looking at them, then it doesn't matter. And so that, I think that's what that means. So it's not like what you're describing is a little bit like the observer effect. Like if you observe something, then like the fact that you observe it is changing the physics around a thing. And that's a little different.
Well, how's it different? Because that sounds the same to me.
It's different because if you're observing something and it changes, that means the act of observing changed a thing that already existed into another thing. This simulation series is the act of observing creates the thing that you're observing in the moment that you observe it. So it's not like it changed from one state to another. It just exists now.
Okay.
Which is subtly different, similar, but subtly different.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I personally believe that the universe is like a simulation in that it's all electrical energy. And I personally don't think that there's somebody running it, but it just, the universe has to be intelligent. It's basically made of math. Not to say that that is a language, but.
But how is that different than just saying God?
It's not that different from just saying God. It's very similar.
But how would you say it different than God? I mean, like, how would it, you know what I'm asking, really? Like,
So, you know, I'll just throw out things like, oh, the creation is the creator.
But it's the same thing, right? You're just labeling something, the same definition for all of it. You're just giving it
it's kind of
label.
Kind of a word game, right? Like, you're just changing the terms to be less Bible sounding.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, you know, I just picture people throughout time arguing over definitions that might even be similar in their head, but because they're defined so harshly that we're fighting over definitions. But as far as the photon changing from a particle state to a wave state, I can't wrap my head around that. But when I think of like quantum entanglement and like things that like are new to even our technology, our science is progressing. And will we ever find the nature of reality? Will we be able to define that in equation? I mean, I kind of don't think so, because I don't think that we actually understand how exactly what our existence is. So we're trying to define things based on our physical perceptions of a non-physical world.
Well, you mentioned AI. How is that involved?
For anybody who believes that we could be in a simulation, you also have to believe that we could create a simulation within the simulation. So where does that end? You know, like if we are in one, then you can't think we're the first simulation.
But is AI doing anything that would lead us to believe that the universe is a simulation? I mean, like,
here's an angle. Like, you can sit and have a conversation with AI right now, right? I could go up on ChatGPT and just talk about something and it would be able to respond to me. And one of the little tangents in simulation theory is like the NPC theory. All the people that exist, some of the people are player characters and some of them are non-player characters. Mm-hmm. And a non-player character could be run on like a simple AI that just responds to your prompts and goes about, and it does it. Like some people say, oh, you have no internal monologue. There's no, the sense of self is diminished or something. And these people are just, they're just non-player characters in a video game, right? And then you as a player, if you are a player, are capable of doing things outside what it, or you're more capable than a non-player character would be. And so the idea that like you can sit and have a conversation with AI and it would make sense or whatever lends some credence to like some of the people that exist in your day-to-day life or whatever. A few of them, or maybe most of them, or maybe all of them, if you're the only real person that exists in the world, just consist of all of these non-player characters that are just running off of an AI like language model like thing.
That one's a tough sell for me because it's kind of like anti-empathy in a weird way. It's like,
it means some people are better than others, right? And like people, there's a certain sort of mindset where you don't want to say that anybody is better than anybody else. And then you'll find this idea really distasteful. And then there's another sort of personality type that says, yeah, some people are better than other people. NPC theory also just slots right in, right? So it's not necessary. You can be highly empathetic and still think some people are better than other people, right? There's all these other positions, or think that everybody's exactly the same and have no real empathy towards that either. So there's sort of four positions. Like only one of them would be sort of anti-empathy.
I feel like it's a very weaponized way to treat people like idiots, right? Like,
oh, I see.
If you're this person's stupid, so they're an NPC, so they don't matter, so I can treat them like shit.
Sure, but the part where you have to jump to, so I can treat them like shit, though, is a jump. Like, you could totally say, oh, there are NPCs and blah, 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 and I'm glad I'm not one, and I'll treat these people nice. I mean, like you don't necessarily have to make the jump. There's a certain type of person that will say, like, if some people are smarter than other people, that means we just have to kill all the stupid people. It's like there's a big jump to thinking some people are smarter than other people and we have to kill all the dumb people.
There's also a big jump between treating someone like shit and killing them. I just mean, sure. Don't you think that Elon probably believes in NPC shit and that we all fall under the umbrella of his NPC theory, and like what happens to us doesn't matter because he's the only one.
I think it's possible. Yeah, I think it's totally possible. Yeah. But he's also autistic. I don't think he has a lot of empathy because of just his autism.
Thing aside, it just feels like a sort of like, well, that homeless guy is probably an NPC, so I don't have to care. But really, I just wanted to ask, like, these NPCs, could I be one? When I come home and I just watch TV, is that what an NPC does? Because it's not like I disappear. It's not like anyone you can follow.
I know,
just disappear.
Right? That's a weird thing. I've followed NPCs around, but I'm also going like, well, if I'm playing, how come I'm not creating?
You're bad at it.
Things.
You're bad at the game. Yeah, you're bad at the game. Like, get better at it. I just think like you could have anybody followed by a detective, right? And there's never going to be a chance where someone just like disappears or this guy's unable to follow them. And so I'm wondering like, can that be a part of the NPC thing and they're just programmed so well? Or is it because someone's looking at them and we go back to this wave versus photon thing? Like, would they actually disappear if nobody was looking at them? So does that mean
it's all about programming, right? So they've created AI worms, right? So they set the rules for the worms and they
wait. Do you mean a worm in a computer or do you mean like, How do you mean an AI worm? Am I picturing like an actual earthworm that exists in physical space?
No. It is a digital worm, and they create the parameters that it's all digital, and they allow these systems to grow on their own. Science is saying that entropy, the fact that everything decays or whatever, like entropy should grow or stay the same. And it seems like it's doing the opposite. Like everything is just getting more complex in the universe, right? For us to evolve into humans is saying like, wow, it's like things are teaming up and to make better things instead of just like slowly decaying and not working out.
What does this mean that they've?
I know I'm kind of jumping through a couple ideas, but and I jumped away from the AI worm. But basically, the worm, they can define it and watch it live its life, and it just does everything a worm's supposed to do. I'm bringing this up because if you're thinking the idea that NPCs should disappear, well, like they're programmed to just live. So like,
right?
They still so will we be could, programmed we could all to be enjoy NPCs. Things. Yeah. You still.
But then,
want
so like, if I come
excitement.
If I come up with a totally original idea, does that mean I'm not an NPC? Like,
I think that would mean that. Yeah, I think an NPC couldn't come up with a completely original idea.
But can anyone at this point? What's
well, sure,
a
that's
a
rebuttal,
idea?
That'd be the rebuttal.
Well, it's just kind of Blade Runner at this point then, because like, how do we know we're not NPCs, right? I mean, like, do a bunch of NPCs sit around and for 10 years do a podcast about shit that they can't explain? Like, would that be in an NPC's programming? Like,
does the hundred,
if these two NPCs monkey, meet,
what's that called?
They're gonna fuck. Oh, the Shakespeare that can write Shakespeare or whatever.
Is there a hundred worm AI?
Well, the thing about chat, the thing about AI and ChatGPT right now is like it only knows to give the next word based on what the previous word is. It's just kind of guessing which word to do next, and it has so much information from the internet or whatever that it's just like, oh, you want to do this? Like, okay, so here's probably the next word that would happen. And it's really useful. I'm not saying it's stupid or anything. It's fucking great. I use it all the time. But there's no real intelligence happening. It's just kind of factoring out variables and using the ones that remain.
Sure. So, but the question is, like, could our own cognitive, like, could we be running an AI very similar? Could it be a similar mechanism in the same way that, like, the wings of an airplane are similar to the wings of a bird? They're not exactly the same. They're pretty close, like, you know, and so an airplane flies, a bird can fly. And are these things, are they cousins to each other? Is machine learning similar to human intelligence? That's an open question. I don't
know. I think our brain is the most complex computer out there. The computing power, the self-cooling, like whatever you could think of that.
Except for when we get a temperature.
Could the NPC with our brain
do everything
that I've come up with in my life?
I think so, man. I mean, who's the guy who did Taxi Driver?
Paul Schrader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the other day, he's like, fucking AI is great. Like, what, use it. Why would anyone pay me to do it? I just typed in, like, come up with a new Paul Schrader movie, and it gave him like 10 examples. He's like, these are all great. He's also like an old man and shit, but
yeah, I saw that post. But like, we're pattern seeking beings, right? And so, like, when we're and we replicate patterns, is it patterns all the way down? Is that that's the question?
Yeah, we could very much be just a part of this AI thinking that we're like doing shit that's never been done, but really everything that we do is based on something else, right?
And then you add suffering for everyone to distract us from.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of sadistic part. Like, why you introduce suffering so that they can break out of the box that you've set up for them? Like, that's the part that kind of it's so advanced that when faced with adversity, the code goes around it or whatever. That's why I have a hard time with it, because it's like, how can anything be? I mean, I don't have a hard time. I like kind of believe this. I'm just wondering what it means, like the implications of us all being NPCs, which I think is better than like just one person isn't or whatever.
Sure.
Because that messes with my head way more. That just like, I we're know, all just here dude. For like one person. Like, who would that
well, be? Then all the NPCs should team up and try to get rid of this
well,
one.
Well, who is it? I mean, that's the movie. We got to figure out who this guy is. Or girl. Or they.
This is similar to an older idea, right? Like there used to be this idea, like, why is the king the king? The king's the king because God said he should be the king, right? Like, and so like, so in a way, God says, this is the more player character than everybody. You're the subject of the king, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you all have souls. So, like, none of you are NPCs. You're all the same stuff. But I touched, like, you know, these families or this guy or whatever. It's like a variation of these really, it's like sort of this, like, you know, old rope that sold this new rope. It's like these ideas are very old. We use different words for them to sort of secularize them and try to, like, kind of coat them with a just scientific razzmatazz, where they used to use, like, sort of just religious talking. But, like, there is sort of this idea that, like, it does seem that some people are more blessed than other people. Why is that?
Yeah.
Is there no rhyme or reason at all, or is there a rhyme or reason? And that's the open question.
I don't know. Here's my current answer to that is entirely just subjective. And it's that the people who just have really good attitudes are like really good at like being good at life. You know, like all of my friends who are like really successful, sort of inexplicably successful, you know, like the lucky people that you talk about, like, what the fuck? Like, how did they get to where they are?
Yeah, they're not failing up. They're like happying up.
Yeah, but they're not even, but they're just like around the person who like gives them the thing that, and it, I've just been attributing it to positivity and like brain waves and shit like that. Because my idea of the simulation is that, well, it's Matrix rules, right? It's the one. Like if we are all plugged into this thing, and not literally, but like that means that we can alter the code accordingly, which means if you just open up your mind to that and be positive, then like more positive things will happen to you. Because it's true that like grumpy, negative people, more bad shit happens to them. And then these like, you know, fucking, I mean, I Agatha is who, this is just for Willie, but like this girl who we went to college with, it just seemed like she just kept falling into the right places. She was like a stand-in on Bones, you know? Uh-huh. And Bones went for like 10 years and like all you do is get there and you like stand in front of the lighting and it's like what a dream and you can like live your life for like 10 years.
To pursue any of that. She accidentally fell into a great job and
she's beautiful and everything. So that probably
that helps. Yeah, it helps.
so that's the other thing. So if it's a simulation, then why do people look different and how does that Everything I start to say just gives me more questions and there's no answer to them. And I don't really know how to talk about this without like spiraling.
Well, I think the traditional answer would be like God works in mysterious ways. Like this is so complicated. Sure. That you can't wrap your brain around it, but it does. But God is very complicated and he's wrapped his brain around it. And right. You're on the chessboard of reality. And you don't know what the plan is, but you're a participant in it and you're going to do your best, right? Like to not piss off God or whatever.
Yeah.
My version of everything you're saying, because I don't think it's just like positivity. I think that everybody wants your attention, right? Sure. And so like you have to be careful what you pay attention to because most things trigger addiction. Most things trigger you wanting to do it over and over and over. Oh, and I don't mean to get so dark, but I'm just saying that like maybe a lot of people are negative about the world is because all of these things that are gaining our attention, not to say that they're negative, but they're not positive. Here's my side parallel. Everything that I love in my life nostalgically ripped me off. So
like what? Like, give me an example. Give me like something concrete.
Soundwave here. When I see him, I get fucking happy. I think about all the enjoyment I had playing, watching, pretending to be all these things. And I'm like, these things are also taking me away from experiencing my family and people to the fullest. So it's like, I know I'm not trying to get preachy. I'm not trying to shit on capitalism. I'm just and a lot of it could just be kind of an accident. But I'm just like, there's some people that are like, I'm not saying they didn't do any of these things, but they still can connect to people better and only have like positive thoughts and not just positive.
What do you mean? Because they didn't play with toys?
No. It's just the attention. It's like our brains as a kid, you're being programmed by things that actually aren't trying to program you. They're just trying to get your attention. So then all of a sudden your attention is given to a lifetime of look at me instead of looking at yourself.
I don't know. I don't understand why Soundwave, who gave you great nostalgia feelings when you look at him, you're like, that's really fun. I don't know why you would then be like, I should have talked to my mom more.
Well, have you ever heard of Soundwave could be a beer bottle. And what I mean by that is in Australia, they manufactured these beer bottles and people would just throw beer bottles away in the outback and whatever they drink the beer, throw them away. And they would discover that whenever they found these beer bottles on the ground, there were all of these beetles that were just covering these beer bottles. And they found out these beetles were having sex with the beer bottle. And just because for them, it had triggered something inside of them that just said, this beer bottle is the most attractive female beetle on the face of the earth.
Fuck that.
And so
look at it.
It was a giant problem because now you have all of these beetles expressing all of their like, you know, love and vibrancy towards a beer bottle, and it's just
start dying off or whatever.
And it's a total just beer. It's a false reality. And maybe you worry something like Soundwave is like a beer bottle. Like you're putting all this time, energy, and love into this beer bottle where you could be putting it into another human being or something.
Yeah, I'm saying basically that like I have turned into an NPC because of all of the things that I enjoy that actually like stop me from.
They don't care for you back. Like the Soundwave thing doesn't care.
Yes, that's a great.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, we know that because of fucking Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay.
Michael Bay's explosionary.
We know that Transformers don't care about us because they made that movie. Sorry, just like I hate the whole like you're ruining my childhood thing. Like, no, just go watch old Transformers, you fucking idiot. You don't have to watch the new shit.
Yeah.
You're ruining my childhood. Fuck off.
You don't have a thing, though. I think everyone probably does have one of these things that like something that is sacred, but kind of just to you that someone could control and kind of ruin it for you. I mean, like, that's a thing. I mean, maybe people take it too far and like turn Star Wars into a weird religion, but like, I'm sure there must be something that you like.
Everything, everything in life. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Like, are you still best friends with your grade school friends? Like, right. If you told your fifth grade self that you have not seen those guys in 20 years, they would be like, oh, that sucks. But like, that's just not the way it works, man. You keep moving. And I feel like life is just a series of disappointments, isn't it? Isn't it always like, it's never been as good as like playing with Transformers on the floor.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, like, it's just, I guess it does have to do with your mindset, right? Like, because you were discussing earlier about like how some people seem to have put out a positivity and then they have like, I do think that your mindset and I guess the other thing you were talking about, I guess it's just a kind of a version of serendipity. How come like these little serendipitous things happen to these positive people? It could just be the story that they tell others and tell themselves. And it's just like, their glass is half full, your glass is half empty, but it's really just your emotional connection to the glass, not really, like, the glass is just where the level is at the glass, right? Like, it's just, that's just how it goes.
For sure. I mean, that's the whole thing, like, don't compare yourself to others, right? Like, that's what you need to learn, I think, first when you leave college and go into the job market. Just, like, don't fucking compare yourself to, like, the success of your friends, because there's no good that can come of that, because everyone does things at their own rate. But when there's a guy like Elon Musk who has more money than all of Europe or whatever the fuck, like, how is that not lucky? Like, does that
I'm someone say it's not lucky? I mean, I think it is lucky.
No, I mean, do you think that like these people who we seemingly feel like have it easy, even though we're not like looking into their whole lives, and I'm sure they have their problems too, and I'm sure Elon does too, because he's like fucking a wreck. But well, maybe I just answer. I don't know. I just like when it comes to the simulation and looking at people and comparing NPC or not NPC, at what level do you stop being sympathetic to the idea that Elon, like that someone, I don't want to keep saying Elon because this isn't political or anything. I just mean like, how is it possible that this guy born into a rich family then also made a shitload of money on his own? I don't know. It just feels too easy.
Yeah, but I guess the flip side is some people's lives feel too hard. I mean, like, it's just a like kid that gets leukemia, cancer, and dies or whatever. That's like a
does that have anything to do with what we're talking about with like the simulation? Like,
well, I guess it would, right? Because like, if it means like some people exist for the benefit of more important people.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and I can see, like, and if you dislike,
like,
that,
let's give these kids cancer so that someone else will try to cure cancer
or can learn a lesson or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
Like, one of the weirdest arguments for diversity was like, oh, it's good to have diversity in colleges so that our elite kids can, you know, experience these other people from different races.
Right.
Like, you know, this is the big, like, you know, we want them to be well rounded. So, like, your value of diversity is, like, oh, look, you can have all of the whole world can be there for the real people. Like, that's why you want diversity. Yeah. So the real people can have interesting lives, you know, and that is a complete real point of view. I think that was argued at the time when they were deciding this stuff, that was like, isn't it better? Like, you know, we have important people here. Shouldn't they experience these other things? You know, like, I mean, examples of that.
It's a good point, too. It's like,
well, and like
we don't want these people to maintain being monsters their entire lives. Like, throw some minorities in there so they can see what it's like to be poor.
Yeah, but it's not for the benefit of the poors so much as the benefits for the elites, right?
Well,
it's
still probably good.
Yeah,
but maybe it is for the benefit of the poor in a roundabout
eventually,
way.
Eventually, like a roundabout way, sure. But that's not the nugget of the idea. Like
that's where I went with it, which is sure. if
that's
there
a very
are
half.
NPCs,
your glass is half full. Your glass is half full.
I'm just trying to figure out how we can all work together and like. If NPCs are real, then I'm kind of like, oh, fuck it, man. Like,
well,
all right.
The question is, if you're an NPC, how do you turn into a player? And so,
you don't. Yeah. If NPCs are a thing, that you really don't.
There's no way. Unless you're Neo and you're in a sci-fi movie, you can't because you've been programmed to do that. So, like, no amount of thought in your brain can ever break you out of it.
If we are players, what do we gain from playing? It only works if we can step outside of it and have the experiences on the outside.
Why do you play Super Mario Brothers? You know, it could be something as simple as that, right? And it's entertaining.
And
it
also, I mean, this is like, you just ask, what's the point of life, basically, right? I mean, like...
Or what's the point of playing Super Mario Brothers? I mean, you could have, that's either one of those questions, right? It's either like, our existence really, really matters and it's cosmically important, or this could be frivolous entertainment for some other outside consciousness that we only sort of generally kind of terrestrially interact with.
It can be a teaching tool. It can be like a hand-eye coordination. Like, now I've learned that. Now I can, like, maybe I'm interested in like drone piloting or something. Like, so when it comes to the simulation, if I'm an NPC and I'm like reacting to some shit in a way, then they're like, well, yeah, let's fold that in there and like see, I don't know, maybe on the next wade, he'll do something else or whatever. Like, isn't the whole thing, my whole thing is, if it's a simulation, and I don't believe this, but what I've heard is like one of the theories could be like, oh, they have a problem out there above the simulation and they're running this simulation to figure out like how they can solve their problem. So it could be like racism. It could be like, you know, just territorial shit. It could be religious, like just mostly confrontations. It could be like medical. It could be like, well, maybe if this like little box cures, you know, cancer, then we can like study that and see, you know, we'll just do the same things they did. So if it's a simulation, I feel like, I don't know, it's almost encouraging in that, like, if you just do what you do, like you're contributing to it.
You're helping. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like we're like just some advanced model to try to solve some bigger problem for people that are more real than we are.
Right. And instead of NPC, you could just say that we're like the variables, you know, and like maybe they do have the hero fucking people that they've put in here. Like, this guy's really smart. We really want him to cure cancer, but he has to grow up and he has to like,
I know. And your job might be to get cancer.
Yeah, your job might be to get cancer just so that this guy can like maybe solve cancer. I don't know. It's interesting to think about that. Just to take it to the sci-fi, this is the first question I asked. I'm gonna bring it back to there. If we're in a simulation, what's the level above us? Like, what do you think, Pete?
I mean, it would have to be kind of a version, because all of our simulations we have now are kind of a version of our reality. So it's just like lesser resolution. So it would be above us, would be very similar to this, but higher resolution. So that's what I'm saying.
We have pores. We have like more hair and more pores. And our hair moves more beautifully in the next.
This, if we're in a
look
simulation,
at the water physics. Sorry, go
then,
on.
Then this version is just to add diversity. So the level above us is all just one gray race without features. You know, the gray aliens.
Do you think it's just ugly duckling up there? And they're like, how do we deal with this duck that doesn't look like the rest of the ducks? All right, I don't know. Start a simulation, throw a million races in there and let's see how they do it. So they're like constantly going like, we should maybe kill him. No, I guess maybe we shouldn't. Oh, now they're learning that we shouldn't, but we might.
This ugly one turned out to be pretty nice.
Oh, I hope it's not literal ugly duckling. It's like you said, man. It's like it's all just another word for religion and like.
Yeah. So, but what's interesting about like you say that as if that's a negative thing, but like religion has utility. So, is there utility in thinking these?
The
things?
Utility like, in religion is the societal. It's like it's the community aspect of it, right? It's like going and meeting up with people. It's tribal. It's like we all believe in the same things, and that's great.
Yeah, simulation theory doesn't have that part. Like, so no. it takes all the really good stuff about religion, gets rid of that.
Exactly.
It just maintains this, this like, you might be worthless, nothing. You might be whatever.
I feel like it breeds narcissism in a weird way because it is like the Matrix and you're like, oh, I can be Neo. Like there was that guy who loved Matrix and like killed his parents. Right. I don't know if he believed in simulation theory, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because at least with, there's no humbling aspect. Like any religion that kind of like survived for a long time sort of had this pro-social aspect to it. But simulation theory doesn't seem very pro-social.
Well, and I'm wondering, okay, so but maybe simulation theory is only for people who aren't religious, going like, I don't know what I believe. And then maybe part of humanity is having to humble yourself enough to believe that there's a higher power. And we've stumbled onto simulation because we made computers and we're like, oh, maybe we're in a computer.
Gosh, dude, that's pretty interesting that the point is to find whatever higher power works for you, but it's something.
Yeah, and it's all meaningless in the end, but like maybe that's a part of it, you know, like eating, procreating. I don't know that there's a lot of people who don't think about, is there a God? What's the afterlife, right? Like, are those tribes that like nobody's contacted who are like freaked out by helicopters going over? Do they think about like, they do, right? They were the beginning of that shit, like making weird sticks out of shit and like worshiping it. I don't know. It all seems just like an excuse to like be selfless in a way.
When I picture the most advanced society out there and I picture them, what, like we evolved into thinking beings. And so if this is a simulation, thinking's got to be a part of the end game of the simulation, right? So sure, using technology to progress that, but I keep thinking that our brains are getting more complex as we evolve. So like the complexity has got to be what the universe is trying to make, because it's easier to just let us not become complex. Not that the universe is trying to be the easiest existence, but
I would just say this. If it's a simulation and like we have this whole thing, energy can't be destroyed, right? It can only be transferred or whatever, as far as we know, right? I would say the simulation started with like a planet. I don't know how you explain dinosaurs or whatever, but like I'm sure it will fit in here somewhere. You could say that like the reason that the brain is like firing electrodes and shit is because we started as like single cell amoebas that had this amount of, or single celled organisms, not amoebas, sorry, that had this amount of electricity, and now we've like, or energy, I'm sorry. And now we've like grown. It's like this weird thing where we keep growing and getting newer and newer, but it's like there's only this much energy. So we keep getting more and more complicated to continue this energy, which I think like maybe this is all off the top of my head. So if I sound fucking nuts, yes. The energy drives the machine. Like we are the cells that drive the machine.
Yeah, the energy is just piling up. Combining.
And so maybe, yeah, I mean, maybe we're just like, I don't know. Maybe if it's, I don't know. I almost got to the finish line there, but I think it crumbled at the end. Do I sound like an idiot?
I feel like I've been saying the same, you know, things that get me lost and not having a point the whole night. Just like pondering things I can't answer. So,
I mean, Peter, what do you think when it really comes down to it?
If everything is a simulation, that's interesting. I mean, that doesn't offend my sensibilities as strongly as I think it does yours. You know, like it's like, okay, you know, like, so it's like, is there a plan or is there not a plan? I don't know. I'm open-minded to there being a plan, and you can call this thing simulation theory, or you can call it Islam or Judaism or,
sure,
you know, or whatever whatever little piece of it we can wrap our mind around. And if there, if there is a plan, that's cool. And if there's not a plan, that's also kind of cool. I mean,
yeah, because it's liberating, right?
So both are kind of appealing to me. So one doesn't really offend me more than the other. I'd be interested to know which one was the other one. Yeah.
I think that's why I keep talking about religion, because it's like, yeah, if you believe it, cool. And if you don't, cool. And I don't know what else we would get out of the simulation thing, like exploring it, thinking about it. Like if you were a devotee to the simulation theory, well, like, what are you even preaching?
It would matter, right? Like, because like, it's like not every religion is the same and they don't have all the same results. Although the fruit of simulation theory is very, it's very early in this religion, if this is a religion. And so we right. don't know, they haven't thrown up great paintings to simulation theory. There's not great like conquest of simulation theory, right? Like the art, the philosophy, all of this stuff. It's so early, at least, I mean, at least Scientology had like Battlefield Earth, right? Like, you know, like there's like simulation theory has nothing. So it's just, we're really early to this party. So there's an opportunity to get on the ground floor on simulation theory here.
For sure.
You know, and someone can take this ball and run with it because there's enough people that are interested in it. Other things that are similar to religion that came up, like Bitcoin is a kind of religious. Like, what's it mean? What's it based on? Who knows, right? Like, and people have become millionaires and off of Bitcoin. So if there's a way to monetize simulation theory, that's really the question. how do you turn this into power, something useful?
Exactly.
Like, Muhammad figured it out. Jesus figured it out. L. Ron Hubbard figured it out. The Buddha figured it out. Satoshi figured it out. And here's this crown lying in the gutter. Someone's got to pick up simulation theory and run with the damn thing. And it's just, it's all sitting there in front of us going, yeah, what is this? What is this? What is this?
I know. If somebody were to run with it, you could make up anything you want, and it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, that like you're gonna gain people exploring the ideas you come up with. And I'm like, oh, it's pretty it's fascinating. I mean, it helps if you're a physicist or a
yeah, I mean, this is one that allows like the priest class to be mathematicians or something, right? Like it's like, you know, so for forever in religion, it was always like the people that were really big into words, you know, they all got the religion, they got books or whatever. Simulation theory is a way to give religion to the numbers people.
We didn't get into this and we're wrapping it up, but like, I'm going like, if it was a simulation, there'd have to be glitches. Some people think that the glitches are deja vu. And I love following these stories of time slips where people have fallen into different times and they've come back and like, oh, I don't, fucking, it was Victorian area. I just walked down the street, you know. So I love the idea of like, I'm not on board with simulation theory, but I think that our existence is somehow like it. But when I hear of time slips, I'm like, oh shit, man, like that was a glitch and they jumped into some other timeline and came back with.
See, we should have talked about glitches, man. We should have talked about glitches like 20 minutes ago. It seems harmless enough to believe in it. I think maybe, Peter, what you were saying about like, how do you capitalize on it? Like, I feel like we will find out very quickly that we are NPCs because there will be a non-NPC who can capitalize on this new religion called simulation. And in 10 years from when it starts or whatever, we'll be bombarded by this shit. And we'll just be well, we could have done that, but we're in
that means it's true. So whether simulation theory is true or not is sort of irrelevant to whether or not you can capitalize on it.
I just mean like I consider myself a beta cuck because I never follow through on any of my ideas. And I feel like NPC is just another word for beta cuck.
I want to write the script of simulation Jesus. Like I hate comparing it to Jesus, but like, yeah, like who's the Neo of the simulation?
Who's the Messiah of the simulation?
Well, what would that mean? I mean, like, what
could be the some AI thing that gains consciousness? I'm just saying that sentence to
put a pin in it.
It's a cliffhanger. It's maybe we'll continue talking about that. So, Peter, the podcast is called NPRmageddon. Amazing title.
Check it out. Like, we have like a. We have a pretty cool cast. We have some of the last performances of some of my favorite people. Like this is the last performance of Fred Willard, who died a while back. It took me a long time to make this thing. It's the last performance of Harlan Ellison, who is actually, I just totally admire this dude. John Delancey from, who's Q in Star Trek, he's in it. Tazon Day, who did Chocolate Rain, is in it. The gal who did the voice for Rita Repulsa and the Power Rangers, Barbara Goodson's in it. I've got a really eclectic, good cast. There's like over 80 people in it. It sounds like the radio. It is worth your time. And I hope if you're curious, you'll give it a listen.
Yeah, check it out. I mean, God, that's awesome. What, Willie?
LeJon Stewart's in it too.
Yeah, LeJon Stewart's in it as well. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. And,
Really bad movies.
No, we're not doing shit. Oh, okay. He's going to throw that in there. I'm not going to throw anything in there. I'm just going to say thank you very much for listening. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue the conversation over there. with our new friend Peter Podgursky. NPR Armageddon. Find it wherever. It sounds like a hoot. I kind of want to know how you got the fucking bad guy from Power Rangers. That's like a weird, insane pull. So maybe we'll find some behind the scenes shit. Remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. See you next time. Real Life Sci-Fi.